Good morning. Sorry about that. I may or may not be losing my voice, but we're going to run through this anyways. Welcome to our worship service this morning. It is wonderful that we can all be gathered together today, hearing from the Lord's word about his grace and his mercy. Today is our celebration of All Saints Day. What that means is today we have the opportunity to celebrate the founding and the raising of the church. And we remember all those who then came before us. We remember all those saints who have gone, suffered and died, but also all those who have passed into glory peacefully. And we have the opportunity to praise God for each and every one of those today. We have a couple of announcements as we begin then. First thing is tonight, Bible trivia night. Doors open at 4. Questions start at 4:30. There will be a meal served as you get there at 4. Any questions, contact Christy. Although if you have questions at this point, you might be a little late. Other announcements as we begin, then we have Operation Christmas Child boxes. We do need those back in 1 week from today by November 12th. So if you are interested, there's still boxes to take. If you have some, fill them up, get them back. Grief Share presenting that Surviving the Holidays, Monday, November 13th at Kingdon Gardens. Contact Wayne and Kathy or Tracy and Jill for more information on that. Ladies, save the date. Sunday, December 3rd at 2 p.m., there is Reflections of Mary, Music and Monologue with Wendy Sue Pflug. I'm hoping I'm saying her name right. No disrespect whatsoever meant. But if you want to attend, let Nola Wagner know by November 22nd so that she can know how many to prepare for. The last announcement that I have today is a reminder that there's been interest by roughly 6 people at this point to go to Alaska next summer on a missions trip for this church. And if there is any interest, any questions, any thoughts, let myself or Tracy know, and we can continue working on that. Again, the opportunity is for members of our congregation to go and serve in Naknek, Alaska for a week next summer in order to assist them with the missions work up there. Are there any other announcements that I am missing today? Thank you. Let us then continue with our call to worship from Psalm 149, reading responsively. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation.
Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples.
To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron.
To execute on them the judgment written. This is honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. Would you pray with me now? O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We ask today that you would open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word we may be taught to repent of our sins and to believe on Jesus in life and death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us now for Christ's sake. Amen. I will invite you to stand for our opening hymn, number 164, For All the Saints, number 164. You may be seated. At this time, let us now bow before the Lord in full recognition of His grace and mercy to confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to You that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed. Therefore we flee for refuge to Your infinite mercy, and ask You for Christ's sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by Your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of You, and of Your will, and true obedience to Your word, to the end that by Your grace we may come to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
O God, the Father in heaven, have mercy upon us. O God, the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy upon us. O God, have mercy upon us.
Hear then from God's word. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It is because of promises like this in the Word of God, from the mouth of God Himself, that I declare to you today that your sins are forgiven. Amen. I invite you now to stand as you are able, as you now have the privilege to hear the Word of our living God.
The first lesson is from Revelation 7, verses 9 through 17. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders, and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to the springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And the second lesson is from 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure.
And our gospel lesson for today comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Seeing the crowds, He, that is Jesus, went up on the mountain. And when He sat down, His disciples came to Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Here ends the reading of God's Word.
God be praised for His glad tidings.
Let us now, with the Church of all times and in all places, confess our holy Christian faith. This morning we use the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures. and ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. May be seated. Our hymn before the offering today is number 134, Holy, 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 hymn number 134. At this time, I will call forward our ushers to receive our morning offering. this time I will invite you to bow your heads and pray with me for our congregation and for the saints in all places. Heavenly Father, you have taught us in your prayer that we are to come to you with every prayer, praise, every need, every thought. That ultimately you desire for us to rely on you as our true Heavenly Father, that we can come before you with those thoughts on our heart that are weighing on us. Lord, we ask today, right now especially, that you would be with the family of Kylie Witzman. And we ask in this time of sorrow for them that you would be giving them comfort and peace as they just lost their baby, Harper Witzman. Lord, we ask that you would be giving your grace and mercy to that family. And with Tracy and Jill, as they have an opportunity to minister to their family. And we ask that you would be giving them your grace and mercy during this time. Heavenly Father, you've invited us to come before you with the prayers with the prayers of our congregation. And Lord, we think of those who are suffering in our congregation, including those who are shut in. Juanita, Diane, Joanne, and Delbert. Those who are in need of your healing touch to come upon them, including Gordon, Zach, Linda, Tim, Norm, DJ, Grayson, Danielle, Robert, Casey, Michael, Ty, Blake, Dwayne, and Leslie. Lord, we thank you for the children of our congregation, and we ask that you would be giving them your grace and your mercy, that they would grow up into the faith and knowledge of you. We ask today that you would be with Willa, Charlie, Claire, Eloise, Gwen, Rowan, Lane, Waylon, Kennedy, Elena, Madeline, and Joanna. Lord, we thank you for the men on our church council, and we ask that you would continue to provide diligence in the work that they do. We ask that you would be with Tracy, Dane, Craig, Corey, and Stuart. Lord, for our nation and government today, we ask that you would be giving them wisdom and knowledge, and with all world leaders and those who are in authority, that you would be allowing them to rule and reign with honor that befits their position. Lord, for those who are in the military and their families, we ask that you would be providing comfort and safety to them, that even in the midst of trial, in the midst of fear, that ultimately your word would be a comfort and a light to them. Lord, for the farmers, we ask that you would be providing them continued safety and good weather as they have this opportunity to finish off harvest. Lord, allow them to finish the work that needs to be done and allow them to glorify you through that work. Lord, for these and all other requests we bring before you today, trusting in your mercy and your grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer today. Amen. Our hymn before the sermon today is number 181, O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, number 181.
Thank you.
I will invite you to remain standing as once more I read our first lesson for today, which is also our sermon lesson from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Would you pray with me now? Heavenly Father, these are your words, and your word is truth. We ask that you would sanctify us today in that truth, that you would convict us of sin in our lives where that is necessary, that you would comfort and encourage us with the promises of your gospel. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated. No matter what you think of the book of Revelation, no matter how you might choose to interpret it, it would be wrong of you to say that this book is anything but the gospel. It would be wrong for us to say that the message written within the book of Revelation could be anything but the good news of Jesus Christ. Because no matter how you choose to interpret it, no matter what your views are on things such as the millennium, no matter what your views are on something like the rapture, whatever it may be, the end of the day, the book of Revelation teaches us of the victory of Jesus Christ and the promise of an eternity with him. This is the message of the book of Revelation. And dear friends, as we look today at this text, what we see is we see a picture of what eternity will look like for those with faith in Christ. The first thing we see is the great multitude. The Apostle John, in this vision from God, says, "After this I looked, and behold, there was a great multitude that no one could number." And this multitude comes not just from the nation of Israel, not just from the United States of America. Instead, it comes from every nation, all tribes, all peoples, all languages. And they were all together standing before the Lord and proclaiming his glory. They were clothed in white robes, as our promise from our absolution in Isaiah comes today, where God proclaims, "Though your sins are as scarlet, yet shall you be whiter than snow." These standing before the Lamb were clothed in white robes, holding palm branches in their hands and crying out the same cry that salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. It's So the first thing John points us to today is this great multitude of people who were gathered together to praise God. John had no idea who this great multitude was. That's revealed later on in our passage. But John says that they were from every tribe, every nation, all places on the entire earth. And they were all gathered together to do the very same thing, which was to praise God in His presence. They were seated before the throne of God. And unlike Isaiah, who when he was before the throne of God had nothing to cry but woe is me, these gathered before the throne of God were able to praise God for His salvation and His mercy and His grace. They pray a prayer. Amen is how they begin it. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And this great multitude who cries out to God, John finds one of the elders. And the elder asks him, who are these men, these women, these children who are clothed in white robes, and where have they come from? And suddenly the answer is revealed. These are the ones who are coming out of the great tribulation. These are the ones who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. This great multitude, in short, is believers of Jesus Christ who have died. Those who were washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. The great tribulation, which John is referring to here, refers to the era we are currently living in. The time between Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, His death and resurrection, and the time He comes back again. This is a gathering of believers from that time. They have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They have been given a new name. They have been called sons and daughters of God. And ultimately, each and every person who is gathered before the throne of God in this vision has died. They have died in the faith of God. And what is their lot in death? They have the opportunity to attend the greatest worship service that there ever was and there ever will be. They have the opportunity to worship and praise God face to face with God and with the Lamb. And who is the Lamb referring to in this passage? No one less than the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world, Jesus Christ. Then John points us to all of the angels. And the angels were doing the same thing as the great multitude. They were gathered around the throne and they fell on their faces and they worshiped God. Because mankind was created for that purpose. God's angels were created for that purpose. All of creation was created for a singular purpose, and that is to praise God, to worship God. And so in this picture that we have of eternity, in this picture that we have of the lot of everyone after they die, those who believe in Jesus, they are getting to do exactly what they were created to do for all of eternity. They worship God. They are around the throne, singing praises to God, throwing up their prayers to God, glorifying His great and merciful name. And the angel's prayer gives us something that we can learn about God. They pray once again, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Do you know what this passage sounds a little bit like? The conclusion of our Lord's Prayer, which also made it very easy for me because I taught it in confirmation today. In our conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, we pray for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The angel's prayer here echoes and finalizes and completes that prayer that we make. That God does indeed have the kingdom. All of the kingdom belongs to Him. And that we give Him glory, that He has power, and that He reigns forever and ever. Amen. And the word ends and begins with the word Amen. And another lesson from confirmation then. What does Amen mean? It means, yes, it shall be so. Amen is a word of confidence that we can say Amen, knowing that God will not only hear our prayer, but that He will answer our prayer. That not only will God listen when we cry out to Him, but that He will give us an answer, that He has given us an answer, and that He will continue to provide us that answer. And that answer is pointing us to His Son. That when we cry out to God in our sin and our wretchedness, He points us to Jesus' death and resurrection to forgive us that sin. That when we cry out to God in praise for His glorious name, He points us to the Lamb who sits on the throne. That when we cry out to God with our need, with our sorrows, He points us to Jesus, whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light, and who desires to give you rest for your soul. The final thing that John points us to in this passage of Revelation is what I have named the new psalm. And the people who put together your Bibles might have the same thought in their mind. Because when you look in your physical Bible at this passage of Revelation, you will see that verses 15, 16, and 17 are arranged in the same manner as the entire book of Psalms. Because what is happening here is that the proclamation of those who have been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, believers. This is a psalm proclaiming to them and to us what it is that they have going for them. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in the temple. He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence, and they shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb is in the midst of them, and He will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now, as I read this out loud, and the reason it's taking me a minute is I have to refine the passage because I did not plan this at first. This passage reminds me of when the new heavens and the new earth come down. No longer, Revelation chapter 22 says, no longer will there be anything cursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. His name will be in their mind and in their hearts. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And elsewhere, Revelation repeats at the coming of Christ that there will be no more crying, no more pain, for the Lord their God will be with them. And that is what this psalm in the book of Revelation is saying. This prayer to God, this praise of His glory, is saying that for those who die in Christ, for those believers who have gone before us, for those of us who will one day join them, this is what our life will be. We will be before the throne of God, serving Him day and night in His temple. He will shelter us with His presence. We shall hunger or thirst no more. The sun will not strike us. The heat will not burn us. Because God will guide us continually as our shepherd. The Lamb, Jesus Christ, will be our good shepherd, guiding us to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. All the pain, the suffering that we experience in this world will be wiped away by our God. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen. I know what I did wrong in our bulletin. Before communion, we are going to sing, Lord, speak to me that I may speak, number 459. I just sent everything in the wrong order because I'm silly sometimes. So let us now sing, Lord, speak to me that I may speak, hymn number 459. Dear friends in Christ, in order that you should receive this holy sacrament in a worthy manner, you should now carefully consider what you must now believe and do. From the words of Christ, this is my body, which is given for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. You should believe that Jesus Christ is present with his body and blood, as the words plainly declare. And from Christ's words for the forgiveness of sins, you should also believe that Jesus gives to you his body and blood to strengthen your assurance that your sins are forgiven. Finally, you should do as Christ commands you when he says, take, eat, drink of it all of you, this do in remembrance of me. If you believe these words of Christ and do as he has commanded, then you have properly examined yourselves and may eat Christ's body and drink his blood in a worthy manner. You should also unite in giving thanks to Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for so great a gift, and should love one another with a pure heart, and thus, with the whole Christian church on earth, have comfort and joy in Christ Jesus our Lord. To this end, may God the Father give you his grace through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, and I will invite you to stand as we pray the prayer that our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had eaten, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. You may be seated. I will invite our helpers to come forward to assist with communion. I will invite you to come forward as you are led forward by our ushers today. And if you are unable to come up for communion, I do invite you to let an usher know, and we will bring you the body and blood of our Lord where you are at. Come, receive the body of our Lord. Thank you.
us give thanks to God and pray. We thank you, Almighty and Everlasting God, for having refreshed us with these your gracious gifts. We ask for your infinite mercy, strengthen our Christian faith, support us in the trials of life, and make us fervent in our love for you and for our fellow men. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Now receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed Assurance.
Now go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.